It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I so appreciate you joining us. We've got a great show planned for you today. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You have a purpose. You are here for a reason. And step into it. We've got a lot of work to do to protect our country and this vision of the Declaration that all men are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And this Constitution that puts in place a limited government. And it's gotten way out of its lane for sure. And that's why I'm so excited about U.S. Constitution Week, which will be next week, September 13th through the 19th, up in Grand Lake, Colorado. Great celebration. They'll be kicking it off with Professor John Eastman. He's our guest on the show tomorrow. And ending then on Sunday morning with a church service in the park. But on Saturday is the main event. And I'm super honored to be able to be the MC for that. And so for more information, go to GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. And go ahead and get your reservations made. I think the city is, or the town is probably going to be full regarding reservations. And if that's the case, you can make reservations over in Granby or Fraser as well. And it is hump day. I get to work with a great group of people, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Can't believe how fast time goes by, Steve. There's so much to do.
Well, even though that Henri Camel was not here to tell us that it's Wednesday, you've already nailed it. So I know that has significance at Hooters. And hey, that comment or that phrase you just used, something being out of its lane, that seems to be, you know, a new buzzword or phrase that's going around. I just heard it, a month or so ago, right here in our own state, with a reference to Jenna Griswold.
True that. They are out of their lane. They are so far beyond being a representative government that it is it's beyond belief. And I don't know where we got to the point where we started to refer to those that we elect as our elected officials. And then we have all these bureaucrats that are not elected. And government is supposed to be limited in America. It's supposed to be a government of we the people. And when government no longer represents us instead, and you can see it. I've been down at the state house where the elected representatives actually look with disdain at us. It's like they don't believe they'll ever lose another election. That's why this whole election integrity thing is so important, Steve.
Well, that thought there that you just mentioned, that they look with us at us with disdain, coupled with the fact that also how dumb or stupid they think we are, that we'll never figure out some of the things that, you know, they have risen up to this level of elitism, and you know, they're stuck there, and they really believe in themselves.
It is pretty astounding, and that is why this last election cycle was so interesting, because the American people showed up, and we are seeing. And I've heard actually elected officials, and I know I said elected officials, elected representatives, say that, and people out there, if there was election integrity challenges, election fraud, then where's the proof? But let's just kind of think about this. They've been working all these years on all these different fronts, and some of it is almost legal fraud, like this mail-in balloting. Voting that we have, and Colorado was one of the first, is, and I talked to Karen Levine, who's one of our great sponsors. She said, Kim, I really like the convenience of having my mail-in ballot. And I'm like, I do too. But we could request. I think the change on this is people need to be able to request it, Steve, instead of this automatic registration and automatic sending out of ballots. That's a place that we really should be able to clean that up. I really think that's pretty important.
Well, like what you just said, the voters really showed up last election cycle. And I want to just add to that. If you think they showed up the last time, wait till the next time.
I sure hope so. That's super important. So anyway, continue on. It's Wednesday. And what you were alluding to is it's Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants, and that's for to go or to dine in. If you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And I reached out to them. This hamburger special that they have is pretty amazing. And they said you can get any specialty burgers with a side of curly fries for only $10. And they have great, I mean, this sounds so good, mushroom Swiss burger, a bacon blue burger, a Southwest burger, Western burger, mac and cheese burger, and a Cali burger. And that's the one without Newsom, I guess it is. Oh, no. It's with guacamole, lettuce, and tomato and onion. that's getting really interesting, Steve, the election out there, the recall.
Life without Newsom could be a reality very soon.
Yes, and you see the polls. I saw a report that came out and said that a poll that said that he was going to retain his seat, and I'm like, I don't believe any polls unless it's Richard Barris's poll.
Again, there's another indicator how stupid they think we are. In my mind, I mean, these polls are just flat out ridiculous, and very little information about where the poll was taken, when the poll was taken. Just enough to, you know, catch your, well, again, that's the problem, our short attention span.
Well, and that brings up another thing about polls or surveys. And we've been talking about this, and we'll talk more about this. In my town and in cities and towns across the state, we're seeing after we've had elected officials that have not worked to get our cities, our businesses back open, now they want to tax everybody more. And so there was a survey that my city of Lone Tree did to talk about to try to put in the foundation for this this proposed 55% sales tax increase. And so they did a survey, and they touted that the people from the survey said, oh, they're so happy with this, and yes, they would do this. And so we actually asked the city for the information on that. First of all, they spent $27,500 on that survey. And so surveys can, you can get to a point where they'll say whatever you want it to say. The other thing is they surveyed, I think, 344 people. Only 156 of them answered the survey. And then they go out and they tout all these survey results. So to your point, when you hear a survey or a poll, it's time to really ask a lot of questions, Steve.
Well, it is, and I don't want to beat up on your hometown, but some of the things that I see going on right now with, they have their quote-unquote newspaper publication that lands in our driveways every week, and man, oh man, it is so darn biased, and it's obviously toting the city's line, and there's no balance, and it just drives me crazy. I think I'm just hoping that people reading this rag have, you know, the ability to see through it and know that it's not what it's saying it is.
Well, and that's true, because you're referring to there was a big piece that was done regarding this sales tax increase. And again, it's not just my city or my town, it's across the spectrum. And I had submitted an op-ed several weeks ago, and they opposition to this sales tax increase, and they would not print the op-ed. They said that I had to reduce that to 250 words and submit it as a letter to the editor, which is what I did. But again, it's very subtle, so I have to, the other side on this, we submit an op-ed that can't get printed. But on the other hand, then there's a big, big piece that's done about why this is a good idea for you to have to pay much more in sales tax. So anyway, I think that it's important to understand that we are committed to search for truth and excellence as we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I wanted to, Steve, we're going to, in the third and fourth segment, a woman who I know, but she wants to remain anonymous because she does not want to lose her job, is going to talk about her experiences living under socialism. And so I thought, okay, quotes, quotes, quotes. I thought I'll go to, sometimes it's important to go to those that are purporting these particular ideas. And I went to Vladimir Lenin, and he was born in 1870, died in 1924. He was a Russian communist revolutionary and head of the Bolshevik Party, who rose to prominence during the Russian Revolution of 1917, one of the most explosive political events of the 20th century. The bloody upheaval marked the end of the oppressive Romanov dynasty and centuries of imperial rule in Russia. The Bolsheviks would later become the Communist Party, making Lenin leader of the Soviet Union, the world's first communist state. And he said, the way to crush the bourgeoisie, is that the right way? You got the pronunciation for me. The way to crush the bourgeoisie, and that's also means the middle class, is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. Steve, that stopped me in my tracks when I saw that.
Oh, my gosh. These quotes that you find, and they're all awesome, you know, because they bear out a point. But how many times have we said something that was spoken 100 years ago and it goes right to the heart of today?
Well, and that is, you know, we talk about it all the time, that it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, here we go, unpredictable and excessive taxation. That's why we say no on all of these new tax increases out there. Fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And here, this is exactly what Lenin said, you know, many, many years ago. So that's why these elections, Steve, are so important. That's why it is important that we elect people that want to conserve. So they would be conservatives, people that want to conserve this vision of our country, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And a man that has really stepped forward on this is Casper Stockham. He has run for Congress several different times, and he understands that it's important that we train candidates, because when they say that they're going to run for office, they are stepping into a meat grinder. And if they're not prepared, it's very difficult. It's good, well-meaning people, but they need to be prepared. And so he has founded a group, America First Republicans, and he is training people to run for office. Casper Stockham, this is amazing work that you're doing.
Hey, Kim, I appreciate that. You know, I have a suggestion for the for the mail-in ballot situation going on, because we as citizens may not get the outcome we want as far as election integrity and things changing, at least in this upcoming election cycle. So my suggestion is, and I'd love to get your input on it, my suggestion is, if we get the mail-in, well, not if, we're definitely going to get the mail-in ballot in the mail, I suggest we hold it as long as possible and don't vote early, don't mail it in early, hold it. Because if we mail it in early, what happens is it gives them plenty of time to figure out how many votes they need to go in one direction or the other. I think if we hold it as long as possible and mail it in, you know, a couple of days before the election, or, you know, whatever the time frame is, I think that'd be better.
Okay. Couple of things on that. I think that's a really interesting strategy. I've heard people say, get your ballot in early, and then that way you will not be contacted to get your ballot in. But I think that we need to start to do some things strategically, and that makes
right.
sense. The other thing yeah. about it is, though, I no longer trust the U.S. mail. I really think right. that people should drop those off at those drop boxes and
right.
not mail it in. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
then the other thing, Casper, is...
That was the second part of it, yeah. I'm sorry, that was the second part of it, yeah. Don't mail it in at all, you know, but hold it to the last minute and then take it to the ballot box. And take it to the drop-off box.
And then also track your ballot to make sure that that it, you know, that it counts, and that's really important. So let's just jump over quickly. This work that you're doing with America First Republicans is very important. I know that you have another class coming up. You have trained, what, 50, 60 people already? Is that right?
50 people already, and our goal is 250 for the year, so we're a little behind the power curve. We have another class coming up, and there's still plenty of room to register for that class. It starts on the 25th of September, so just here in a couple weeks. And it's an in-person class, or you can take it virtually online, live online at the same time as the in-person is going on. So there's plenty of room. People can be in any city, any town in Colorado. They can be actually in a different state, and we do have some students registering from other states, so that's kind of exciting. We have a huge fundraising event coming up this weekend. We have actually three events, but there's one main event. So the first event is Friday evening. It's going to be in Deep Space in Parker, and that's a free event, so anyone can come out to that. It's going to be a fun event to start off. It's going to be a remembrance of 9/11. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have some videos that we show, and we have a special guest speaker coming in town. Albert Guillory will be here with us. And then Saturday morning of September 11th, we have a VIP breakfast that starts out the day, and then we have the shooting, Clay shooting event, and then we have a luncheon, and there's still plenty of room to register for that event as well. And then that evening, we're going down to El Paso, going down to Colorado Springs and partnering up with the El Paso GOP to have another remembrance event that evening. So it's going to be three events happening in 2.5 days, and it's just going to be a fun time to come out and a time to make sure we do not forget those we lost on 9/11. We're also going to have a special remembrance for the 13 service members we lost in Afghanistan here recently as well.
Well, and so it's a very important weekend for sure. I'm going to be out at the Clay Shoot on Saturday, so would recommend that people join us out there. And the website is AmericaFirstRepublicans.us, correct? AmericaFirstRepublicans.us?
That's correct. And they click on events for the three events I just mentioned. They're all listed there along with the sign-up link. And then for training, they can just click on the training link and they can get information about the class that we have. And we have other classes that we're going to be announcing here very shortly, but they're all listed on the training page.
And the other thing about it is, if you may not want to run for office, but I know that there are people that have gone through the class and they're helping people run for office. And so that's really important work that you're doing on that, Casper. Again, that's AmericaFirstRepublicans.us, AmericaFirstRepublicans.us. The other side has been training people. They've been winning elections. And we have not really had a great training program to answer that. And America First Republicans is that. So, Casper, thank you so much for that. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, Kim, we'll talk to you next week.
For sure. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we have learned that these school board races are so important. And we have a number of great people that are stepping forward into this. And the teachers union, over the years, they have put a lot of money into these elections, and we've seen the results. And parents, after this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, and seeing what is actually being taught to their kids and what their school day looks like, people are saying we need a change. And so a lot of great people are stepping up to run for school board. We're going to talk with one of those when we come back. And that is Sandra Bankus, and she's running for school board down in the Colorado Springs area. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not need to force people to do that. And we see force all over our communities right now. And our school districts, our school boards are very important elections. And on the line with me is Sandra Bankus, and she is running for school board in District 11 in the Colorado Springs area. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim.
I got to know you last year when I had the great honor to be the keynote speaker at the Sunrise Republicans last year. And so it's great to get to know you from that. And now here you are stepping forward to run for school board.
Exactly. And as I listen to your show, we are so in sync. If we don't stand up for freedom, if we don't stand up for this great country, then we will not get it back. And that's the direction we want to go. And that's one of the reasons I'm stepping up to run for school board.
So, Sandra, as you know, I always am looking for quotes as we do each of these shows. And our guest in the third and fourth segment is a woman who experienced socialism in Spain. And I was going through these Vladimir Lenin quotes, and he talks several different quotes about give me your four-year-olds and educate them, and I will have them, you know, for socialism will have them forever. Or, you know, give me your kids and educate them and we will have socialism for the next generations. And we have actually, I think, abdicated our kids to, I mean, there's a lot of great teachers out there, Sandra, there really are, but the pressure on them and the agenda out there, we are seeing that it's been very detrimental for many of our children.
So when I first took a look at trying to change the course in which at least District 11 is going, I look at the kinds of instruction that is being given. I've looked at teacher professional development offerings, and I don't know if others are aware, but here in Colorado Springs, we have a few classes being offered under the definition of diversity and inclusion. And let me just tell you about one that I took. Now, this was a couple of years ago. However, that class is still being offered. And, you know, as a teacher, I'm a retired teacher and a retired principal. My principal's license is on hold. It's inactive. But my teacher license is still active. And I, up until COVID, was still working in the schools as a tutor. So in taking these professional development classes, this one in particular was a week-long class, and I'll just give you one exercise, one learning exercise in which I participated, and that was we went into a room, and we lined up on one end of the room. It was a pretty big room. We lined up on one end of the room, and every time a statement was read that pertained to you, you took a step forward. So if you lived in a house with a mom and a dad, you take a step forward, which I did. If you had books in your house, take a step forward. I didn't have books in the house, so I didn't take a step forward. And the questions go on. So you know what's supposed to happen is that all the white males end up on one end of the room and all the rest of us are scattered back towards the back. Well, during the course of these statements, one of the facilitators came to me and said, Sandra, you're supposed to take a step forward every time one of these statements pertained to you. And I said, I am. I did not see, we did not have a newspaper in my house growing up. I did not see people on TV that looked like us or our family. And so when they, excuse me, when there's a statement, I do take a step forward. So the thing goes on, and now I'm maybe halfway through the room, and lots of other people are at the end. She comes back to me, and she says, Sandra, when you fill out a form, what do you mark? Do you mark white or Hispanic or African-American or Asian? And I said, I mark other. I said, I'm Armenian. I know who I am, and I'm answering these questions or statements as they come up. And I went home, and I was furious. I was furious because somebody was trying to tell me who I am. When you get that kind of professional development, I know that the idea that that's being proposed is that it's to raise your awareness about who you are and where other people are and how they're treated. I get that piece. But I grew up in East L.A. I'm very aware of how I was treated. But I have to tell you, only as an adult, and as I go through a class like that and I look back, I can say, oh, gee, I didn't get to go here, and I didn't wasn't offered that. But you know what, Kim? It only serves to hold you back. When I look back on my childhood, I go, oh, I got to go camping with the Girl Scouts. Oh, I got elected to student council. When we are training teachers to look for differences, we are not providing the foundation for students to build resilience and self-confidence.
Oh, wow.
So they can meet the challenges of this world. I have encountered kids coming into my class when I've redirected for poor behavior saying, you're a racist. And I'm fortunate in my career that I can take the time, because I have small groups of kids, I can take the time to say, let's talk about that. Is this the behavior that's expected of you when you're at home? Is this the behavior that will be successful for you in dealing with others in your world? And we have those conversations. But if I'm a classroom teacher, we can't have those conversations because I have curriculum I have to cover. And I want to let you know that there's a compilation of CMAS scores, and CMAS stands for Colorado Measures of Academic Success. So there, it was compared, District 11 was compared with 183 school districts in the state, and District 11 came in at 159th. This is before COVID now, and this is grades 3 through 6. Is that what we're going to be satisfied with? And I don't think so. I go to school. Parents send their kids to school to learn, to gain competency in reading and writing and math. They send their children to school to have the same values reflected in their school day as what they hear at home. And you're right. I heard someone earlier say, with Zoom classes being held, parents at home got an idea of what was going on in classrooms. And I have to say, the teachers that I work with, have worked with, and I've been in Colorado Springs a long time, have been worthy people. A conversation that I had recently, however, in a reconstituted school here in Colorado Springs, for some reason, these two gentlemen, teachers, went out of their way to engage me in conversation, and one said, and in my class, I teach social studies, in my class, I'm teaching my kids to protest democratically. And I thought, that's not why parents send their kids to school. They want their kids to be able to finish 12th grade with the confidence, the resilience, and the competency to read, write, do math, figure out choices, and then make a choice. And I'm all about choice. It's important for us to understand that we have choices. And I heard you say earlier, freedom versus force. And I think that's a great definer of where we are today.
Well, Sandra, what you're saying, it makes so much sense. How can people help you? Because these races, the other side many times gets a lot of money. How can people help you?
You can always look me up on the internet at sandra.bankes, BANKES.com. And I'm on Facebook at Bankes for D11. And you can, of course, donate. But I have to tell you, I need to reach 20,000 voters in order to be able to secure a spot on this school board. So if you are interested in walking with me, to walk on to walk neighborhoods and knock on doors. I would so appreciate the help.
Well, I really think that this should be our conservatives' exercise program from now until, and the ballots are going to drop probably in about a month. And so instead of maybe going to the gym, how about go out and help Sandra Bankus and walk doors with her or a candidate in your neighborhood as well? Actually get some exercise. It's a beautiful time in Colorado and would highly recommend that. And so people can contact you then through your website. Is that right, Sandra? Sandra.Bankus.com?
That's correct. Thank you.
It is so good to talk with you, and I so appreciate you stepping forward. Here you've been an educator all these years, and now you're stepping forward for school board. Our children need you, and I so appreciate it, Sandra.
Thank you so much, Kim.
And Lauren Levy, who is a great sponsor of both my shows, both America's Veteran Stories and the Kim Munson Show, is on the line. And you know him. He is an expert in mortgages. And interest rates have not inflated yet. And so whether or not you are buying a new house, you're going to do a refinance, or you want to do a reverse mortgage because it's difficult to find yield out there in the market, Lauren Levy is the guy for you. Lauren, it just gives me great heart to be talking with Sandra, who's stepping forward to run for school board, because these races are so important, Lauren.
They really are. I have one more teen in the house still, and even just in the short school year, he had one professor, or I don't know if it's not college, so he had one teacher who said in the front of the class that depending on the day, she determines what her pronouns are based on how she feels that day. And I was like, oh boy.
Oh boy.
You know, I wasn't really prepared to hear that.
Yes. And to what Sandra was saying is, instead of focusing education on all this, and there's really been two things. There's been this whole sexualizing of our kids through curriculum, and then also the CRT, this critical race theory, which is, as Sandra, I was astounded to hear what she was talking about regarding this teacher development class. We need to get back to teaching our kids reading, writing, arithmetic. I need to reach out to a listener. I've said critical thinking, and not in critical thinking as she talked about, as far as being an activist, but critical thinking for kids to process information and to be able to think about that and to come to their own conclusions based on a foundation of understanding of our history and how life works, human nature. I think that's so important, Lauren.
I agree with you. That's how we were raised, and you know, the goal was to get through, like she was saying, to graduate with these certain understandings and then go on to college and do what you think is best for you, you know, not what they think is best for you. So I agree.
Right. Right. And, you know, Lauren, I so appreciate you because you are a sponsor of both of my shows, and you're an expert in the mortgage industry and interest rates, inflation. I haven't really watched inflation, though, is on the rise significantly, isn't it?
Inflation itself in our daily lives is definitely here. And it's definitely affecting everything. The easiest thing to see is the gas prices. And then those that go to the grocery store can see it. It has not, like you said before, taken hold in the mortgage industry yet. And that is because, as we've said many times, the Federal Reserve is in there as a buyer of mortgage-backed securities. And that keeps the inflation from getting in there and making rates go up. They have talked about maybe in the fall soon starting to taper, meaning lowering their buying program, but we don't know if that's going to happen yet.
So now, if people have not refinanced, now's the time to do it. It's still a great time to, if you can find that house, and I think the real estate market has cooled off just a little bit. Karen Levine's the person to talk to and get the mortgage with you. And then these refinance are important as well, because it's been difficult for people that are moving into retirement to find yield, and refinancing your home, or not reverse mortgage, that can be a great tool as well, but you really need a professional like you to do that, Lauren.
Yeah, reverse mortgages are not right for everyone, but they are a great tool. They're a great tool to help people that want to get a little extra income on a monthly basis, sometimes a lot of extra income, or just pay off their mortgage and move on and not have that debt. in their life, and then they can retire a lot easier. And with refinancing, you know, anytime you can save $100, $200, $300 a month, that helps counteract some of the other inflation we're seeing and can really help balance things out as far as monthly expenses go. And why pay extra money to the banks that you don't have to pay if you can get a lower rate? It just makes more sense.
Okay, and I just need to make sure I've said refinance and reverse mortgage. They're two different things, and you can help people with both of them.
Yep, a reverse mortgage is a refinance program that's only for seniors age 62 and above. And it's a specialty program where you don't make any payments. That's what the term reverse is, and we can definitely talk to people about that.
Okay. How can people reach you, Lorne?
Best way is just call 303-880-8881.
Again, that's 303-880-8881. Lorne Levy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking about socialism. And socialism isn't about free stuff. Free stuff is the carrot to get people to vote for socialism. But living under socialism is not pleasant. We're going to talk with someone that has done so. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not need to, force to implement it. And the U.S. Constitution was a document that was put in place so that we, the people, would be in charge of government, not politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. It has been under assault for many, many years, and we are now seeing just what socialism, totalitarianism looks like. We never thought that would come to America. And there are those that have grown up under socialism or lived under socialism, and they're really crying out saying, Americans, wake up. And I actually met the next woman at an event where she was talking about this, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. I know who she is, but we're going to have her remain anonymous just because it seems to make her life a little simpler to do so. So welcome to the show.
Hi.
So you had experience living under socialism. Tell us about that.
I kind of think about so many things, like jobs and healthcare and schools and everything. But I think the starting point is understanding that socialism is full of elaborated, sweet-sounding words saturated of fallacies that preys on your nature. But then the reality is that you become a replaceable number in the factory of the state. So they tell you it's about helping others. They tell you it's about everybody having something, but they don't tell you what it's actually about. It's about people in power that doesn't want anybody to succeed in anything. And that's the problem. You cannot succeed in anything because you cannot be better than anybody else.
So, yes, so socialism talks about equity, not equality, but equity. And a friend of mine actually, she talked about socialism. She said, yes, everybody's equal. Everybody gets a saltine cracker. And that's what you're talking about, is instead of putting in place a situation where people could succeed, make choices. And if you can succeed, that means you can also fail. But if you fail, you can pick yourself back up and try again. But instead of having that opportunity to succeed, then people are held down. And those that are in power, they make sure that they, quote unquote, succeed, and they make sure that they take care of their friends and family. But everybody else basically lives in misery, correct?
Exactly. The problem is that you cannot make your choices. So I truly think that everybody is good at something. And if you can thrive in wherever you are good at, you know, you will have a very well-balanced, functional society because everybody is doing their job happy and also in a good way. But if you don't allow people to succeed in what they are good at, because they cannot be good at anything, you know, because that's not equity, you cannot be good, then you will have a crumbled society where nothing works. And I would like to ask people, who do you want to perform brain surgery on you? A wood surgeon or whomever got the title, because everybody is entitled to get the title.
Well, and to that point, I have thought about that as well. And we actually saw this over recently under the Obama administration, and that was regarding air traffic controllers. They were putting in policies where they wanted to have, quote unquote, more equity in air traffic controllers. And so instead of, again, of merit, of working hard and succeeding so that you are good at your job, good at being an air traffic controller, they were wanting to have people get those jobs just because of their descriptor, whether or not they were, you know, man, woman, sex, whatever it was. And like you just said, regarding a brain surgeon, I really want somebody that has worked hard to become the very best at their job that they can be, an air traffic controller. I want somebody that knows what they're doing, that they worked hard to do that. And I think that there is really a soft bigotry, if you will, in saying whatever the descriptor is, whether or not it's your ethnicity or your sexual orientation or whatever it is, if instead the descriptor is what gets you the job instead of the person working hard, that is socialism. And ultimately what happens is the quality of the work goes down because people are being hired not because of their hard work, but because of some descriptor.
Exactly. And it's terribly insulting because positive discrimination is discrimination. I don't want to be judged because I'm a woman or the color of my skin. I want to be judged because I have this and this merit. I don't want to get a job because I am something that I cannot control. I want to get a job because I'm good at it. And the problem with positive discrimination is that, for instance, as a woman, you get a job, and you are always questioned, did you get the job because you're a woman or because you're good at it? So you have to work twice as hard, you have to prove yourself twice as much. So at the end, it's always terrible for the people that are good at their jobs. It only works for the people that are mediocre and they don't want to do anything in life. But if you have a goal in your life, if you are awakened, if you want to provide for yourself, if you have self-reliance, and you have the correct amount of self-love, you want to do things correctly, then it would not work for you.
Well, and you grew up, or you experienced socialism recently in Europe, correct?
Yes. The problem is how we define a democracy. Normally we say, okay, you have a constitution and you have laws, and that's a democracy, and that's not true. The democracy is what you do with that. Are the laws being abided by? Are actually enforced? Or we live in a state where laws are not even taken into account and we can do whatever we want because we think so. So what will be a democracy? So where I come from, they say it's a democracy. It's not a democracy anymore. It's a socialism tyranny, where, you know, the judge in for instance, in the court system don't have to apply the law. They can decide whatever they want based on what is good for their goals. So well, what is a democracy? And there is a lot of ways to make it look at like a democracy, but when you live there, you realize it's not. So where I come from, for instance, it's impossible to work by yourself almost because of the amount of regulations, of the amount of money, and also because you have to know the right person, the right politician to apply for wherever you need for opening a business. So the only aspiration of people is to work for the state, because it's the only job that will be forever. Nobody can be fired. And it's the only way to get the job for your life for, forever, you know, with money. And the problem is then, you know, if you have your job forever and nobody can fire you, well, why will you do your job?
Right. Why would you want to improve? Why would you want to do the job better? So that's such an important point.
And
we
then the
are...
problem is that if actually you do your job, you suffer harassment from your coworkers, because your coworkers will not don't want to do your this job. So you cannot do it, and you cannot do it well. Otherwise, you are, you know, manifesting what is happening, that nobody knows how to do anything and nothing works.
Right. They do not want to be shown up. So then you have that. And that is what has been so unique about the American idea. And that's why this our Constitution is such an important thing. And so this Constitution Week that we are celebrating up in Grand Lake, this is their 10th anniversary. So highly recommend that you come up. There's great speakers. John Eastman's going to kick it off on the first day on September 13th. It goes through the 19th. I have the great honor to MC the main event on Saturday the 18th. So be sure and check that out. It's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. And I'd love to have you come up and join us. There's a great parade. It's just celebrating America. And I love that. And again, we are a democratic constitutional republic. And this show comes to you because I have great sponsors, and one of those is Castlegate Knife and Tool. Hal and Linnea Van Herke are true entrepreneurs. And this great business, Castlegate Knife and Tool, is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And I'd recommend that you go out in person. It's great to see Bill, who runs the place there for them. And but they also have a great website, castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. They offer a discount every day, all day, to all of our military, our veterans, our first responders. So check out castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue this discussion about socialism. And it's not about free stuff. Socialism comes down to shortages and takes away your opportunity to succeed and also to fail. And we'll continue that discussion when we come back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and check out Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That is next week, September 13th through the 19th. September 17th is Constitution Day, and this is their 10th annual event. It's going to be a great event, great time to get up to the mountains. The aspen will be changing, and so you get to do a lot of great things all at the same time. On the line with me is I recently attended an event where there was a panel of five women who had all experienced, grew up, or lived under socialism. And socialism is not about free stuff. That narrative is just to get people to vote for it. Ultimately, socialism comes down to shortages. Instead of succeeding because of your merit, it's because of who you know. And the person that we're talking to, she wants to remain anonymous. Just because it's amazing to me that in America today, because you speak the truth, there's concerns about being able to keep your job or whether or not you might be ostracized by friends and family. It's amazing that we've gotten to this point here, correct?
I mean, I'm very scared about that. The problem is that socialism is very insidious. So you don't face it straight away. You are, you know, shined by the good things they want to show you. So it's like climbing a stair. It's step by step. So you start giving up your freedom bit by bit. Then you are getting used to be told what to do bit by bit. And then you end up giving up your self-responsibility. And when you are halfway through the stair, you realize how far you have gone, how little you have left. And you wonder how you got there. And it's everyday freedom. When you leave, when you let anybody, just, you know, don't let anybody else speak, you are being part of it. Because forbidding somebody from speaking is forbidding you from speaking in the future. It doesn't matter that you agree or you do not agree. Everybody should have the right to speak.
Absolutely. That's why in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, freedom of speech is one of the very first things that the founders said that we needed to have. And we're seeing that tapped down in such a way in America. But let's talk about this illusion, if you will, of free stuff. And we hear free college, free healthcare, free this, free that. I don't see professors saying they want to work for free. I don't see doctors saying that they want to work for free. What they're saying is they want to take money from one person to give to another. And I think that actually is legalized theft. What do you think?
I can just give you an example about healthcare. So where I come from, healthcare is universal. Everybody has the right to it. And what does that mean? It means that the people that pay taxes, which are the fewer of them, pay a lot of taxes. So more or less, you pay more than 1,000 euros per month per healthcare, and you don't get anything out of it. So, for instance, if you need an urgent surgical procedure, then you enter a queuing list, and maybe you can get it in 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. And also means that the state decides what procedures you can have. It's not your doctor who decides anymore. It's the state who decides. I don't know if people will be okay with that.
Yes, we need to walk that back. And as I was looking for quotes today, I was looking at Vladimir Lenin quotes, and he said something along the line of, if you control medicine or healthcare, that is another way to control the people. And we've seen that under Obama. So many different things that they talked. And under Obama on the healthcare, they said, we want to make sure that we take care of pre-existing conditions. And they've used fear, where people that may have a pre-existing condition, or people that say, oh my gosh, if I get something like cancer or, you know, a major illness, how will I pay for it? Because it's gotten so expensive. And it's gotten so expensive because of government is involved in it. But they've used that fear then to push forward their agenda on this. And like you say, ultimately, when government gets involved, the quality goes down, the supply becomes limited, and the cost goes up, correct?
Exactly. And you're talking about doctors that work for the state. So they don't have any incentive on doing a good job, a fast job, or a job at all. The same for nurses and everybody in the medical profession. So they are, I mean, very, very good professionals, sure. But it's very hard to get to them. So you will have to go through a very long political procedure to get anything you need that will arrive late because you have to be in a queue for ages. And, well, nobody has a good incentive on putting money on there or putting better services because it's public.
So what it really does is it takes away the incentive to succeed, to be better at your job, to provide better and better services, because if you do, then you are paid for that. And some say that's greedy. Actually, it's just an exchange of value for value. But we have 1 minute left. I know that you are very concerned about America. And in particular, Colorado is, we need to make sure that we're standing for freedom here. Colorado is the petri dish. What's your final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
I see hope in this country. I see a lot of hope because I see a lot of people concerned. But we need to wake up. We need to realize what's coming, and we need to be alert because they are very good at using fallacies against us and using our good nature against us. So wake up, please, wake up, and don't let anybody take away your freedom.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'm encouraged like you. I think people are waking up. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Lenin, from Vladimir Lenin. He said, there are decades where nothing happens, and there are weeks where decades happen. And that's why we must always be vigilant, my friends. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new.